FNB released its Property Insights report, focusing specifically on the retail property sector and the relationship between it and the consumer. It looks at the macroeconomic factors that influence both of these parties, and given the difficult economic times, it's clear that the retail property sector has taken some strain, with vacancy rates becoming the order of the day in some malls. It seems the bigger malls have suffered the most, with a call for them to become more dynamic and service-oriented in order for their chances of survival to increase. Well, to take us through the issues and some of the Property Insights report's findings, I'm joined on the line by John Luce. He's a property strategist at FNB. Thanks very much, John, for joining us. In your assessment of the retail property sector and how the consumer has influenced its performance, what are your observations over the past, say, 20 years?
Well, yes, I think we know that retail property has outperformed the other major classes, office and industrial being two, and even outperformed residential property. And a large part of this has to do with a consumer that has outperformed the economy. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that real consumer spending has outgrown most of the time, or much of the time over the past two decades, has outgrown the economy. It got that right by rapidly falling interest rates from the late 90s to early last decade, and lower interest rates ever since. What was helped on up until 2004 was actually tax reductions, putting more disposable income in the consumer's pocket. And one thing which probably wasn't so healthy, but also helped drive a stronger than economy consumer, was a decimation of the savings rate up until a few years ago. So the consumer was more and more living beyond its means, and that too drove a strong, relatively strong consumption and an outperformance of the retail sector relative to the others.
So, John, when the global financial crisis hit around 2008, South Africa was fortunate enough that the government at the time had a budget surplus and used that to help stimulate the economy, sort of counter-cyclical type of use of the tools they had in the box at the time. And that would have been positive for the consumer as well. So when do you think we really began to see the consumer consistently lose steam?
Well, yes, they used that budget surplus, but it never got the economy back to what it was prior to 2008. They used that and they cut interest rates again sharply from late 2008. But of course, we went back into budget deficit quite quickly. The government debt started to climb, and so the effective tax rates had to compensate for this. The effective tax rate of the consumer, actually, the household, if you take the personal wealth tax amount as a percentage of overall household income, it actually started to rise from 2005 onwards. It was 10.9% in 2004, and now last year 15.6%. So it has been creeping up on us for quite some time, the effective tax rate. And then on top of that, ever since about 2011, 2012, there was a peak in the sort of recovery post the financial crisis. And ever since then, from about 2012, this economy and the consumer, or the household disposable income growth rate, has been broadly stagnating.
So what's the FNB Property Broker Survey saying about the market conditions of the retail property sector in terms of vacancy rates right now?
Well, the majority are pointing towards rising, have been pointing towards rising vacancy rates, majority of survey respondents, since 6 months ago. So we see vacancy rates rising, and that's not out of line with what we've seen in IPD numbers in recent years. We've also seen retail property along with office space, both those categories we've seen steadily rising in vacancy rates as well. And you know, if you look a bit further than the numbers, for those of us who go to the malls, or the malls I go to anyway, certainly I've been seeing a few more empty shops as of late. So it is starting to become visible to the naked eye.
How much of a threat does online retail or e-tailing pose to bricks and mortar retailers, or it's still very much in its infancy in South Africa?
Well, yeah, I think going forward it poses an increasing threat. One must not underestimate it. But as things stand now, from our surveys, and it's my perception too, the biggest challenge for the retailer as we stand here and now is the stagnant economy and this weak consumer spend growth, household disposable income growth, and weak consumer spend growth. I think that's still more of a problem, in my subjective opinion. It comes from stagnant income growth plus rising effective tax rates and some increase in the savings rate in recent times as consumers become more cautious. So I think the state of the consumer is challenge number one. That's certainly what our survey is saying, according to the brokers' perceptions.
Yes.
Second to that, yes, you've got the challenge of online shopping, which is emerging and will become more significant as the years go by. And then thirdly, also, the brokers point towards the affordability challenge, very high rentals. Retail space has become very costly over the past two decades.
So as property owners face the current realities that you've basically outlined, slower foot traffic through their malls and so on, what are they having to do to try and at least retain the tenants that they have?
Well, I think the small convenience shopping centres, they are possibly better off because it's high-frequency purchases. You pop into the local food shop on your corner regularly. That doesn't go away, and I don't think online shopping has made a dent in that yet. Or you go to the hairdresser, or you go to your local mug and bean or restaurant and so on. So the smaller centres, I think, are relatively well geared to, I wouldn't say totally weather the storm of a weak consumer, but I think they're possibly weathering it better. The malls, It's reinvention time. You can't just be there for shopping. You've got to offer a lifestyle experience.
Yes.
You know, Northgate Mall, not far from me, they've got an ice skating rink there. You know, the restaurants, things that you can't necessarily buy online. That's what malls have to do more of. They can, by reinventing themselves as lifestyle experiences, putting in the gyms, putting in the things that can't be bought online, the
yes.
services more than the goods. That would be their way of responding. But to the weak economy, it's tough. Possibly just to be you know, I think rentals have to decline somewhat in real terms at least. It has to become more competitive to attract tenants. But you can only do so much. A weak economy is a weak economy, and we all have to deal with it.
Yeah. South Africa's faced with the very real prospect that the sovereign rating of the country could be downgraded to junk by Moody's. If that were to occur, what would the consequences or implications be for the retail property sector, if any?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, I think the downgrades coupled with growing concern in any case as to rising or the deteriorating state of broader government finances, ESCOM debt, overall government debt, and the possibility of a future default. What would the how can this feed through to property? Well, the first obvious one is at some point long bond yields can shoot up, and there is a partial link between long bond yields and capitalization rates on property.
Mm-hmm.
So that could drag capitalization rates up and put downward pressure on property values. That would be for retail property. That would be for office space and industrial space, all of them. But, of course, what it can also do, you know, if government finance really starts to look like, you know, if it looks like we're heading for default, you dent investor confidence, you dent investment, weaker currency, higher inflation, short-term interest rates go up too, and a weaker economy drives up vacancy rates on property, amongst others, retail as well. And yes, you know, weaker rentals, and all that filters through to property values too. So via the impact on negative impact on economic growth, or via the impact on the bond market, you know, if that moves responds to deteriorating government finance, it's a negative for property values, and retail would be no different.
Mm. No doubt you've answered this question, but it is my last one. What's the outlook for the consumer and the retail property sector for the balance of the year?
Well, I think it's weak. You know, we're expecting 0.6% real GDP growth for this year. The real household disposable income growth won't be much different. And we, you know, having not made provision for bracket creep in the budget this year, really, it's a further rise in the effective tax rate. So it's a consumer that remains under pressure, retail space that's still very expensive by historic standards. So, yeah, it's a tough time, I'm afraid.
That was John Luce. He's a property strategist at FNB.